Gato, and thank you for joining me on the Excuse Me podcast. I appreciate all of your support, all the emails and the feedback and the likes and the comments. I appreciate everything so much because we are on season 4 of the Excuse Me podcast, and I'm so humbled. And I just want to say thank you to all my listeners. And the reason I am so successful is because I have another amazing guest on my show. I met her at AEW, and I have a funny story about her. But she is just so talented. She's working hard. She's hustling. She's making her legacy known to all the fans in the professional wrestling industry. Everyone, please welcome Alex Gracia. Hi, Alex.
Hello. Happy to be here. Yes, I know. It's like I miss seeing you in person so much.
I know. We used to see each other a lot during COVID with AEW when we were in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And of course, they would always bring you in. And I always enjoy meeting the extras, you know, that would come in because you guys work so hard when you guys came into AEW and you're so focused and you were just so hungry to get in a match and to be used. And I love your eagerness and you never lost your smile all day long, which was incredible to me.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's like, no matter what, it's always stressful. It's like, okay, you're here because you're like, okay, I'm here for a job, but at the same time, I'm trying to get a job. So like, it's such a mixture of emotions.
Yeah. So for my fans who don't know who you are, you're known as the Pink Dream, which I don't know if they can tell or not that you'd be called the Pink Dream just by your screenshot. But a funny story about you is that the first couple of times when I saw you come into AEW and, you know, we would cross paths and say hi, and everything you wore and carried was pink. And I was like, what the hell is going on with this woman? Like, everything was just pink. I mean, pink suitcase, pink hair, pink shoes, everything. And as I got to know your character and you as a person, it was just a fantastic gimmick because it was just, I mean, you stood out in the ring. You have to give yourself props for that because pink is great on TV.
Mm-hmm. It's great everywhere.
How did you come up with the Pink Dream and having everything pink? Like, how did that come about?
So I definitely was a pink lover growing up in general. Like, I don't know if this was like my grandmother instilling it into me. It was just like pink everything, and like just learned to love it. And I did love it and I embraced it. And when I started wrestling, and it finally came time to think about like, okay, how do I want to present myself in the ring? How do I want to present myself to fans? Like I had no idea what to do. And like the people I trained with were like, well, you have to wear pink because you wear pink every single day. And I was like, yeah, I do. I should wear like a pink ring gear. And I was like, cool. And so just trying to think like, how can I make this to where it's like, cause anyone can wear pink. Like different people have different gear colors for different situations or whatever. But I was like, I need to make my pink like a staple of me. And so the largest pink diamond in the world is actually called the Pink Dream. And there's only one. And it's like this extravagant diamond. And it actually was this background on my phone. So it was almost like, this has been right in front of me this entire time. And then I just thought it was like, oh, I could do so much with this name as far as like what pink is as a color and the meaning of that. And then also it's like dream. You can just like take that and go as far as you want with it. And so I just kind of took everything, put it together, started brainstorming, and then I'm still growing with it. And it's been really fun, but it feels like me. So that's the best part about it.
That's really important because, you know, in this industry, when you have a gimmick, you have to pretty much live it 24/7 for it to resonate when you're in the ring. You know, if you don't believe in something, it's not going to be portrayed as something really strong, you know, with your character. And I just want to know, like, do you get tired of wearing pink? Or is your whole closet pink? I mean, is your bathroom and house and everything pink? I see pink walls.
Yeah.
So I'm half right.
So, I mean, pretty much the majority of my closet is pink. And then I always laugh because I'm like, okay, I can throw on white every once in a while, but like, I still have my hair, which is very in your face. So it literally is a 24/7 thing.
Well, you know what? It looks really well on TV. And we're going to talk about your merchandise line, which is really fun to look at. And also, you know, just with your legacy and what you're doing these days. You're from Texas.
Yes.
So am I.
Yes, I know. South Texas. So San Antonio. And yeah, we're little Southern girls.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can't go wrong with Texas. I mean, I was born in El Paso. You're born in Houston.
San Antonio.
Oh, okay. So what made you leave Texas? I mean, because you're in California now, right?
Yes. So it was actually only within the last like few years. I made like the permanent move while I was at AEW during COVID. And it's because like my boyfriend, obviously Scorpio Sky, like we lived across the country from each other. And so that was a big reason why like we probably would have dated sooner, but it was like, I don't know you well enough to do long distance. So no.
I love Scorpio Sky. He's such a sweetheart at AEW. And when I found that you guys were dating, I was just like, oh my God, this is adorable, because y'all have great personalities and I can see how y'all mesh together as a couple. Which brings me to a really cool conversation. How is it dating Scorpio Sky and you having your own, you know, schedule and agenda with the wrestling industry? How does that work out with you guys?
Well, so obviously it's like when I first started, like we were separate. I was in Texas. I was doing my own thing. Traveling and whatnot. But it wasn't until I started traveling with them to go to AEW that I was like, we knew each other wrestled, but we had never been wrestlers to each other. So that was an adjustment being at AEW. Like it was kind of like weird. Like I'm just like, oh yeah, you wrestle too. Like it was just, and he's been wrestling way longer than me, but it was still like, I had never been like at the same like place as him and stuff. And so when I first got there, I was like, okay, I was very big and very stern. And this is why I put off dating a wrestler for so long as well, is because I was like, I don't want to be known as so-and-so's girlfriend. And you're going to get that eventually, because it just is what it is. But I was like, I want to be like my own person and people know who I am. And I want to establish that. And I want to show that I work for everything I get, like nothing's been handed to me. And so like, when I got to AEW and I told him, I was like, cause way before he was like, do you want me to give you their contact information so you can contact them for extra work? And I was like, no, I'm going to wait until I do this on my own. Like I'm going to make it happen. And so when I got there, like it was very like, everyone's going to think like it's because of him or because my boyfriend, or he's my boyfriend. And so it was very like standing 6 feet apart, non-COVID. And then like, it just like, of course, like came out eventually because we're there all week together. And I think it was Cody Rhodes like went up to him and was like, your girlfriend's here? Like it was already like a couple weeks past of me being there, and he's like, yeah, and he goes, I had no idea, congratulations. And I was just like, oh, that's a win, because no one knew.
You know, I understand your frustration with that, because as a, you know, we already are minorities in this industry as women. And that's something I can relate what you're saying, is because when I came into the wrestling industry, I came in as Eddie's wife, because everyone only knew me as Eddie's wife. And it took a lot of years, maybe like almost 6 years, for me to prove that I could do things by myself. And, you know, Eddie had passed, but I had that stigma, and it really bothered me because he wasn't here anymore to, you know, I was doing the work on my own. So I really value that with you, because, you know, to do it on your own and to know that you did this, you know, on your own efforts, it probably meant a lot to you, because, you know, you don't, last thing we want is handouts as women, right? Because we can hold our own.
Yes, absolutely. And so, yeah, that was my biggest thing. And I feel like I said, it's like, you can never get away from it, but it's like, it's you continuing to grow as an individual and in the wrestling industry that eventually will distinguish yourself and like make you like, okay, I'm my own person.
Yeah, good for you, Alex. I love that. The different promotions that you used to be in or are still current in is ROH, NWA, AEW, Shimmer, and Stardom. That's quite a selection of to be invited to those promotions.
Yeah. Like, and it started pretty early. I said this like before, I know, in like interviews, like I got invited to Stardom pretty early in my career. So I thought it was a prank. And then like, it wasn't until like their like verified accounts started following me. And I was still like very new, barely had like out of town booking. So like, it was scary for me and my family to think like, I just started this wrestling thing and you're gonna go to Japan like for a few months? Like, what is this safe? Like, what's going on and stuff? So, but I've been very honored to be able to like work in those promotions, especially like the ones that are dedicated to an all women roster and really getting us to be able to promote ourselves and promote women's wrestling, because there's so many great wrestlers out there and not enough of them are getting showcased the way they should be.
Absolutely. What age did you start wrestling or get it or think that you wanted to be a wrestler?
Yeah, I was about to be, it was right before I turned like 25. So I started a little later than what a lot of people do typically, but I mean, I did the whole, made my parents happy, went to college, tried to do the job thing. And I'm just such a strong-minded person that I'm like, I want to enjoy what I'm doing. Like, I know that I can go the distance if I'm motivated in something. And the jobs I had before, it was just kind of like, okay, I'm just doing this for money, but I'm not happy and I don't want to do this the rest of my life.
Yeah. Where'd you get your degree in school?
So I got it at Texas A&M University. And so I majored in telecommunication media studies, which is like a fancy name for like communications journalism type thing. And then I minored in sports management. So All this, it kind of, like, I was like, okay, I could still utilize my job in some way or my degree.
Well, what's smart too is that we both learned in COVID that wrestling can shut down any day at a moment's notice. So, you know, I got my degree when I was 47, you know, because I still wanted to have that plan B because I was still in the wrestling world. And it's so great because, you know, if things don't work out, you have that backup plan to fall back on and do other things, which I think that's so exciting to me because I love when women have different things going on where they can say, okay, this didn't work out, but now I can move into this, you know, journey in my life. And good for you. I love that about you. That's amazing. Now with all the promotions, what did you see different performing at Stardom compared to the States and, you know, in their audiences?
I mean, besides the fact that communication was a little hard. I mean, like when we're there, I mean, like we have in training, like girls that are super young and you just see like what they have to go through and the dedication they have to just work for a spot to say like they work for Stardom and stuff. And so that's kind of like bittersweet. I feel like over here, of course, because there are so many promotions and you can go so many places, you have your school that you train at. And then from there, you can expand and reach out to other places. But it's literally like, I mean, it's a company. And so, I mean, the closest thing I would say to like the Stardom dojo, which I've never experienced, but probably like the NXT Performance Center, because they're all in the same company. They're all on the same roster. They train together. They compete against with each other. But I mean, just the dedication and the way wrestling is treated over there. Like, you feel like everyone who's in wrestling should be getting this type of recognition and respect, because it's like, it's treated over there like how an NFL or NBA player would get treated in the US. So I love that part.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very different, hierarchy in the sports world. Just like Mexico. Have you been to Mexico and did any indies over there?
Yes, so I did CMLL 3 times.
I love that company.
Yes.
Close to my heart, yes.
So, I mean, even there, it's like getting to wrestle in like a huge arena like that. And it really like helps you and motivates you and puts it in perspective that you're like, okay, this is how people see me. This is how I should see myself. Just because I might not be in the big arena in the US, like, or wrestling in the big matches or getting reached out to by like all the top companies, like I've gotten to work for some of the top companies from around the world and treated the way I was, and just again getting to do what I love in front of a huge crowd and a huge audience, I'm just like, okay, can I do this in the US now?
But what's great is that you're broadening your learning, you know, you're taking all different styles of wrestling and you're making it your own, you know, whatever Alex Gracia is going to be, you get to pick out different people's, you know, styles and put that on your own. I think that's so great that, you know, I learned that with Eddie, you know, that he went to Japan and to Mexico and he loved the indies because there was so much creative freedom in there that he could kind of experiment with things, you know, and see what works and what doesn't. And I just, that's awesome that you're doing this. And I always say that, you know, when you close your mind, you think that you've made it, you know, you have all the teaching, that's where you're going to go wrong. So to have you keep expanding your, you know, your craft, I think that's incredible that you had the opportunity to do that, which is pretty neat.
Thank you. Yeah, it's awesome.
So let's talk about Impact, which we just saw the match with you and Jordynne Grace.
Yes.
Were you scared?
So it's so funny. So a few years before COVID, Impact came to Reality of Wrestling in Houston, which is Booker's school, which is where I was like a permanent student and stuff at the time. And I wrestled Jordynne there. And like, she like was sort of remembering. So like, I wasn't her first television match, but I was her first win in Impact.
Wow.
And so I was like, it came like full circle in a way. And I'm like getting in the ring again. But of course, like, we've both been growing during this whole time. So it's like, okay, like, she's still scary. She can still kick my butt. Like, and so, but she's just so awesome. And like the dedication she's been doing for prepping for her shows, like, I commend her because I know how hard it is to close the freezer on that ice cream. And I mean, to have that discipline takes so much.
Yeah. I mean, just to be a bodybuilder is worse than a wrestler. I mean, it's just so much hard work and the diet and the working out all the time and being accountable. So I'm very intimidated by her when I see her, because she walks around like with her shoulders up and, you know, I'm just like, do I pose next to her or do I just like...
She's all muscle. She's all muscle. Yeah. It's like the definition of like, when you like see, like you see the word physique, it should just be her body.
So what's going on with you in Impact? Was it just a guest appearance or are you talking to maybe signing with them? What's the deal with that? For that one,
it was just a guest appearance, kind of like how Kylan King went in December. And so, I mean, she's there now. And so, I mean, anything can happen. I'm sure people got to talk, people got to work things out, figure out if it's a good fit or whatever. But the experience there was just so amazing. Like, the girls were so embracing and like, it just means a lot to me to know like like leaving that locker room, like I had multiple girls on the roster, like come up, like they were like, I would love for you to be here. Like, you're so awesome to work with. You're so sweet. And they're just like, just stay on them. Just do this. Like, but we love having you around. And so that enough is a win for me, because it's like, when you are in a company, like you are a team. And so you want to have that good dynamic in the locker room. Because the thing is you're only as good as you're the weakest wrestler on the roster. And so, I mean, if you can bring other people up, I mean, it takes two to tango.
Yeah. Have you met Gail Kim and Mickie James before?
I had not met them like in person. So Gail, I actually had done a seminar at Shimmer like 2018 or something. So I know she didn't remember me then. And she like, it was more of like a teaching seminar type thing. But I mean, seeing them in the locker room and like speaking to them in person, because we had talked like within messages or texting and stuff, but I mean, it's just like, you feel like it's like, okay, I'm doing something right to be in the same vicinity.
It's a compliment to you when they want you to be there. You know, that's just something you should be very proud. Yeah, to be very proud of. Did Gail Kim give you any advice or something that you walked away with, you know, to hold close to you or to use that for, you know, the next lesson in life? Like, what did she talk to you about?
I mean, she told me that I was a lot better in person than I was on my film. So I was like, I'll take it.
And she's tough. I love her to pieces. I mean, she's incredible what she's done with her, you know, career. But that's really great to hear, because it shows that you're working at things and they're noticing you.
Yeah. And I mean, even just the film I had given her was just maybe a little over a month prior. And it's like, I have just been working my butt off and just trying to work on every single aspect of what it takes to be in this business and be great in this business. But I loved how tough she was. And when you get feedback, like the type of feedback she gives, you know, that person cares, because most of the time you can go up to somebody and if they have their own thing going on and they have enough things to think about, and it's just like, oh, that was great, you did awesome, like, and yeah, kind of like brush you off. But I mean, she is definitely one, like, as soon as the match was over, pulled us aside straight up with what she liked and where, okay, work on this, like. And so you just know, like, it feels good to know that someone wants to help you and they know that you value what they're saying.
Did you stay for all the tapings, or was it just that one appearance?
Yeah, so I was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Friday was the pay-per-view. So that was like already set. And then I think I was only supposed to be there Saturday, but I ended up like coming Sunday as well. Just help out. And so just try to be in the middle of everything and watch everything. And so I love being in the middle of all of it. Like, no matter where I am, I'm just like, I love this.
That's incredible. Is there a promotion that you have your eyes on that you want to sign with, or what's in your next 5 months, you know, agenda that you see for yourself?
I go back and forth so much, and it's just, I mean, I deep down, bottom line, I want to go somewhere where I'm appreciated, and it's taken so long. And I mean, I'm not the only wrestler to go through like the rejections and the no's and the confusion on like, what am I not doing? Or what am I missing? And it is very hard to like compare and do all that. But I mean, I just know like whoever takes a chance on me, like they're going to get all of me, and it's just going to keep cranking up. And I mean, I'm sure they want to make money. I want to make money. It's like, let's make money together. Let's make some magic. And so I'm just getting ready for whenever that opportunity arises. Like it's going to be the company that wants me, that I want them.
I wish you so much success. And I was shocked that, you know, AEW never signed you, because you were used quite a bit, and you were so good, and you hustled. And yeah. I mean, I loved your matches, and I thought that, you know, you were incredible. So I know God has a special place for you. Like you said, you're waiting to see when someone's going to value you for what you deserve. And that's going to be the promotion that's going to get, you know, lucky enough to have you as part of their show. So I know things are going to become good for you. And 2023 is going to be a really good year for you. I can feel it.
Thank you. Yeah, AEW is definitely a heartbreak at the time. Like, it was, of course, like the girls who were there, we had like our core girls who were coming consistently, because it's COVID. So it's like, you kind of bring in who's already in the routine of getting tested and quarantining and whatever you got to do. But when things started opening up, like within the same like week, I think Maria was starting Women of Honor at Ring of Honor. I was contacted by them. I was contacted by NWA. I was contacted to go back to another tryout at WWE. And so, I mean, I just asked, I was like, give me a reason to tell them I'm taken.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when I couldn't get that, I'm like, as much as I want to be here, as much as this works out professionally and personally, because of course, like, my boyfriend's there as well, so we would love to be on the same schedule and travel together. But it was like, I can't tell these people no when I'm really not here permanently right now.
Yeah. Good for you. And you know, you bet on yourself and you win, and you got to take other opportunities, which is, in this business, you can't wait, you know, for that phone call to come around again. Yeah. So I'm really happy you did that. What advice would you give yourself 5 years ago that you know now?
I would say just never forget like why you got into this. And the reason I got into this was because I loved it. It tested me. I had growth within myself. And I tend to, like, the deeper you get into your years and as long as you've been wrestling, you start to feel like, oh, I'm not signed, I'm not good at this or I'm bad, or you start to like question yourself. But you're just like, look where I am now compared to where I was then. Like, I'm doing it. I have made a career in wrestling, and that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to make a living doing something that I wake up every day and can say, like, I love my job. And so I would just say, like, never lose sight that, be appreciative for every time someone brings you in for a booking, and just continue to grow and get better, because that's something that's never going to stop.
That's amazing. Who are your mentors when you started wrestling? Who are the women you looked up to on TV that you said, oh my gosh, like, this was getting me excited to be a wrestler? And give me three of your top, you know, women that you looked up to.
So Athena, who is Ember Moon in WWE, I was just so entertained by her. And I think because she has that little like lucha swag to her, like,
yeah, that's
right. I was so like, I was like, this is, I love this. Like, lucha has a special place in my heart. So anytime I see something like that, it's just like, wow. And then I feel like Trish is just a staple of, that's WWE, that's a woman's wrestler, that is someone who holds her own, has kept herself like at the top, and just like all around great athlete and great performer. And I definitely had love for, I'll put them together since they're twins, like, I had love for the Bella Twins for sure. They were my favorite. I was like, I love y'all in wrestling. I love y'all out of wrestling. Like, they were definitely the ones that inspired me to see that what wrestling can do for you and what you can do to expand your life. Like, as far as, of course, they have the television show, but I mean, now they're business owners. They have their own wine and they have just done so much. So I would say like they've inspired me in that way of you can do so much more with this.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could wrestle a female wrestler, past or present, who would it be?
That's a good question. So I actually have always wanted to wrestle Alexa Bliss.
Oh, I love her.
I feel like, I mean, just seeing her, I'm like, I like this girl. And I feel like we have, like, she has the pink on her ends. I got the whole head of pink. And I feel like we would be, like, a good dynamic. We're the same height. So it's like, okay, we're going in at the in this even.
That's true. Yeah, she's a great wrestler. Yeah. Have you ever met her before?
Not, like, officially. Like, I mean, when I've done extra work, like, she's so nice and comes and says hi and just seems so sweet. But besides that, no, not personally.
Hey, you're almost there. I mean, you never know, right? Okay, so I want to ask you, Alex, what impact do you want to make as part of the women's evolution that's come through the wrestling industry? What is it that you want to contribute on as far as your character to the women's evolution?
I think my main thing that I'm going through like right now is no matter what, like you can write your own narrative. You are in control of your own story and everyone's path is different. And even when you think like you're being told like, you should be here already. You should be here already. You should be here already. Like I trust that there's a reason, like certain things that I think I wanted at the time haven't happened yet, because every time I feel like I've missed out on something or I feel rejected, something great happens to me that I feel so fulfilled as a person and as an athlete. So I would just say, no matter what your circumstances, like you are in control of your own story.
That's amazing. I love your attitude and I love how positive you are. And we need that, especially in this kind of, you know, we have long days when we go to and all the negativity and all the chaos that goes around. We really have to be our own cheerleader to keep ourselves going, you know, to keep up with everyone. So I wanted to let you know, whenever you, we talk about, you know, being a businesswoman, like looking at the Bella Twins, we worked together at the LA, was it LA Fan Fest or?
LAX Fan Fest,
with Lewis. And so you sitting at your table, you look like a businesswoman. Let me tell you, because you look so professional. You had all your wonderful merchandise out. I mean, you looked the part. You looked great. You were just ready to meet the fans. And I just want to let you know that publicly, you got it, girl. I mean, you have got the mindset that you are going to be successful, because a lot of people don't market themselves, you know, with their character and their gimmick. And Comic-Cons are a great opportunity for the fans to come up and get to see you on a personal basis, not only from like TV or from what they see in the ring, but now you're in the business side of things. Mm-hmm. And that's so incredible, because you're marketing yourself to reach other genres and other audiences. And so your cosmetic line is called the Pink Dream. Is that all the same thing, right?
Yeah, so it's the Pink Dream Collection.
Okay, and so tell us about that, because it's adorable. I mean, of course, all the packaging is pink, but I mean, you have like pink scrunchies and, you know, you have like the pink compact mirror and the brush. I mean, everything was, it's just incredible how you have started this. How did it come about and who helped you get all of this? Because it's a lot to try and get merchandise and to market it and to get it made. And tell us your story with that.
So growing up, I was a fan of Mary-Kate and Ashley, Hillary Duff, like Miley Cyrus, like, and they all had their own lines of things. And being a fan of them, like, I wanted everything. And like, Mary-Kate and Ashley had like hair tools, and they had fragrances, and they had a clothing line. And Hillary Duff, like, I had her bedspread, which was just an all pink bedspread with her autograph stitched. And I had that with a little matching lamp, like, and it just showed me now how inspired I was at that age by them. And so when I started wrestling and it's like getting further in, I knew if I could ever get to a point where I'm able to do something like that, like, that would be one of the biggest accomplishments of my life. And I kind of held it off for a while, not just because it's expensive, but I also held it off for a while because I was like, in my mind, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to start training. I'm going to start wrestling. I'm going to get signed with a company. I'm going to be on TV and everyone's going to know who I am. So then when I come out with this line, it's like, oh, this is Alex Gracia's line. And so then as time went on and you're not getting asked to go to a company, like, you start to feel like other dreams are dying with it as well. So when I was talking to my boyfriend and just saying like, I can't do this until this happens, he said, why can't you? And it kind of like took me back, like, well, I don't know, because I'm not on TV. And he's like, why do you have to be on TV to do this?
Amen. And I was like,
yeah, you're right. And so I just slowly started doing some research and looking at like similar businesses, watching a lot of YouTube videos on like, okay, how to start a business for dummies, like just step by step on what to do. And so I had an idea of what I already wanted to have in it as like my starting few products. And then I reached out to a graphic designer and I'm like, okay, let's start working on a graphic. Let's start working on a logo. So then I worked on a logo and then started sourcing out different products and then having that start to be a process. And I'm getting samples of things and choosing what I really like and what I really feel like is a symbol of me, but also going to be universal for whoever has that type of personality or attitude as well. And so, yeah, it was just a lot of saving up and charging. Like, I have like my websites and just merchandise from wrestling. I was putting it into this because I was like, this is an investment. This is something that I feel like is one of my purposes in life. And as soon as I started doing it, I was like, this is so fun. I love doing this. And then it just worked hand in hand. It's like, you start to notice that it's like, oh, I actually do have a small audience in wrestling, like, even though I'm not on television every week. And so it's just been like that process. I literally finalized and got everything in inventory in December. So it's still very new and I'm still figuring out what to do with it and where to sell it and how to expand it. But I mean, it's fun. I love getting pushed and I love just growing as a person, as a businesswoman, as a wrestler. I feel like it challenges me in every aspect.
So you have really cute eyeshadows that are liquid. And they look amazing on your website. And I saw them. I think I saw that you wearing them because you're saying, oh, I'm going to sell the eyeshadow too. How did you find someone to first make a formula that's safe that wasn't going to like break, you know, like melt someone's skin when they put it on? And how did you have that process? Because, you know, getting, you know, makeup and, you know, reducing it and making it to where the audience is going to buy it and make sure that it's healthy and that it's going to be safe. That takes a big risk. So how did you have that? How did you go through that to make sure that it was going to be a good product?
I think like looking at different companies, most of them are out of the country. but kind of looking at reviews and seeing where they've made for things for other people too, and then also getting samples of things, looking at ingredients, and just really trying to figure things out. Like, I don't even know how to explain, because I'm still like, I don't really know how I did that.
Well, I mean, did you try it on? Like, you'd have to like try it on and see if it, lasted all day, or if you liked it at all. I mean, because your makeup, you've always had beautiful makeup when you have your face made up. So you were very, I mean, you did something you're familiar with, you know, to have makeup. So was that, did you find some eyeshadows that were like really crappy and then some were like really good? I mean, it must've been like a long time to try and review everything.
Yes. Yeah. So luckily the eyeshadows were like, I really didn't have any issues with those, because I'm like, it's just like a liquid glitter. But like, especially like the lip oil, I was like, I didn't want like a bold color. I wanted something that it's like, you could wear on your lips if you were 6, you could wear on your lips if you're 60. And I don't like when it's sticky. So like, that was a trial and error. Like, they sent me like different kinds and like samples of things. And I'm like, okay, this one, I didn't like, me personally, like, I didn't want a strong scent. I just wanted everything subtle, so it was age appropriate for whatever you're using. And like, you can put it on top of a color you have, or you can just wear it when your lips are just totally naked. But yeah, that one was more of the trial and error. And then like with the brushes, I had the big brush at first with the paddle. And then I love carrying my brush in my purse, and most of the time I have small purses. And so that's why I changed it into the little compact that the purse folds out. And I'm like, this is great, because you can like check yourself, touch up.
That's really cool. I encourage everyone, where can they find that makeup line if the fans are wanting to go look at it?
Yeah, so Pink Dream Collection, everything's on there, and some fun stuff, accessories. There's someone for anybody.
And the website's beautiful, Alex. You've really marketed yourself really well. Let's get some questions to our fans, so that way they can get to know you a little bit more, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Name a pet peeve that you cannot stand.
I would say...
I love stumping my guests.
I know. I'm like, I'm sure I have a lot, but this isn't, I guess this is not, like, it's sort of a pet peeve, but like, where people don't wear deodorant.
Good one. Good one, Alex.
Exactly. I feel like I'm so like multiple times a day, because I'm just so nervous, like especially when we're wrestling and we're rolling around and doing things, like it is just like, I'm like, do you not smell yourself? Like, that is a pet peeve, because I'm just like, I feel like it's so like a worry of mine that I'm like, I don't want to like someone to think I smell bad, that I'm like, do other people not think that?
Especially AEW, you know, those days were like 100-degree days, you know, when we're all around. So I mean, yeah, that would be a big testament of who wears deodorant or not. What's a hobby that you do that it's not related to wrestling?
So I love sketching.
Oh.
I've never like took it very far, but I have kind of like loved art since I was a little girl, and like painting things. And so like sketching is something that like I could just do like on the couch, or just kind of like doodle things. And it's nothing like Van Gogh or whatever, but I mean, that's definitely a hobby that like I find relaxing, and I feel like, okay, it's a way to express myself and balance.
Very well. What is your favorite cheat meal?
Pizza.
Nice.
Hands down, pizza.
Who is your male celebrity crush?
This is bad. I like how I'm thinking about it. I'm like, my boyfriend, duh.
And he doesn't count. Sky does not count at all in this conversation.
I would be George Clooney.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Salt, pepper, hair. That does it for me. Would you rather skydive or swim with the sharks?
Oh my gosh. I think skydive.
Nice.
But both would be terrifying. But I just don't mess with the ocean. I'm just like, if a shark eats me, that's my fault for being in the water.
All right. If you could have any one of Barbie's luxury world items, such as the RV, the dream house, the sports car, the swimming pool, what else does she have? The boat. I mean, what's the one item that you would want to take from Barbie?
I mean, everything's in her house. Like, she has like a dream closet. Like, there's everything. So in a couple months, like, the dream house is coming to LA, and I'm like, I'm there. I'm totally there.
Wow. I encourage my fans to go look at Alex's Instagram account, because you have a picture of yourself in a Barbie packaging, which you look like you're a doll of Barbie, you know, standing there. So that's why I want to ask that question, because, you know, Barbie's a perfect symbol for you, because she always wore pink and she had the long hair and all the, you know, the glitz and glamour. So it'd be the dream house. You have to put some pictures on your Instagram for that.
Yeah. And like I've said, like, Barbie's like been a part of my life, like my entire life. Like, I have hundreds of collector Barbies in the boxes.
Wow.
Like, it started when I was younger, and I loved Barbie so much that I guess, like, my grandma, she would buy me a collector's doll and I would want to open it. And she was just so like, you don't open these. Like, you don't open these, you leave them in the box. And it would be so sad, because I'm just like, she's so beautiful. I want to play with her. But she would get me a new Barbie, and other people would get me collector Barbies. And so, like, my collection now is just, I'm like, am I sitting on a little gold mine?
No, I wouldn't doubt that, because especially, well, you know, like, you think of, you know, any collector that keeps everything in the box in pristine shape, like, it's worth more when you don't touch it and, you know, do things with it. So I would be curious to see, like, how much your collection is. That's pretty incredible.
I've looked up some of them, and it is, like, surprising and stuff. And my mom's always like, are you going to give your dolls to your daughter one day? I'm like, no, they're mine.
To get her own.
I'm not giving her my Barbies. What?
We'll see how that changes when you have your own little girl.
I know.
Alex, tell us what your future appearances are going to be, so the fans can check you out, and also let them know where they can find you and follow you, and they can keep track with you.
Yes, so I'm going to be at WrestleCon Friday, Saturday for pretty much both morning sessions, I think. And then I'm all like, what do I have coming up? That's so bad. I'm so unorganized.
Well, WrestleCon is a big event. That's going to be the next big, you know, thing that happens, because WrestleMania is
going to
be WrestleCon, I'm not doing it this year, but every year it's always been a big success. I mean, it's so exciting to see all the fans, and the fans get to see the WWE side plus, you know, the other, everyone else on the other side.
Yes, and so, it's in LA this year, so that's super convenient. Or I don't know, like, if I would have gone, because it's like WrestleMania week is so crazy.
Oh, it's expensive. Yeah, it is. Where can the fans find you on your socials, and also remind them where they can find your collection on your makeup, and then that way they can give you a follow.
Yeah, so on Instagram and Twitter, they're both AlexGracia3, and then to find Pink Dream Collection, it's just pinkdreamcollection.com. Can't forget it.
Alex, I just want to commend you of what a great job you're doing with your branding and with your character. And I'm so glad that that we're friends, and that I was able to have you on my show to promote you. you're a blessing to me, and I can see great things happening to you. And if anything big comes up, let me know and we can promote you and get you back on everyone's mind again, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I loved being on here.
Oh, thank you, and give Sky my love, and you guys have a wonderful day, okay?
Thank you, you too.
Bye. Bye, Alex.
All right, guys, there you have it. That was Alex Gracia on this week's episode. Thank you, Alex, for taking time out to be on my show. I love you dearly, and I wish you so much success with your company and with your career in professional wrestling. Guys, if you want to get a hold of me, please email me at excusemevicky@outlook.com. That is all one word. I am happy to answer your emails. Thank you, guys, for all the responses of comments and feedback and guest ideas. I am going to be moving on to Patreon. So this is my last episode, I think, for this platform. So please, guys, join me on Patreon. I have my co-host, Dino Winwood. It's called Cut the Bull. It's going to be a great show because it's going to be live. The fans can be a producer for the show if they wish, if they want to subscribe to those top tiers. It's a cool concept. Me and Dino can do live promos. He does impressions, and we're having such a great time. I encourage everyone to move on over to Patreon because my guests are going to be appearing there from now on. So thank you, guys. We are on season 4. Such a blessing. I'm so thankful. And I will see you guys on the other side. Excuse me!